I am the gate, and I am the good shepherd. This morning, as we continue our series on the I Am sayings of Jesus throughout the Gospel of John, you get a two-for-one sermon today. Two sayings of Jesus. First, Jesus argues he is the gate to the sheepfold, and then he transitions to his role as the good shepherd of the sheep. My commentary says that this scripture text is the closest text in John's gospel to what we would call a parable in the other three gospels. And in this parable-like teaching, there's layers of meaning. And the meaning I want to call upon today is about safety. What makes you feel safe? What security blankets do you have? The whole idea of safety is getting a lot of attention in contemporary American culture, isn't it? In our world, the idea of a mass shooting doesn't seem so foreign to us anymore, does it? They horrify us, they hopefully still pain us, but it's hard to say they shock us. In response to this new reality of violence, the public discourse turns to conversations about safety and what the role of teachers are, what the role of administrators, what about law enforcement, what about the general public? How do we keep people safe at school, at church, at work, shopping centers, movie theaters, even in your own home? And your political parties, I'm sure, along with your choice of news network and newspapers, are filling your idea with the right solution to all of these things. But today, I'm not really interested in what they have to say. They like to act like they got it all figured out, but I'm fairly certain that no matter how sincere their effort might be or not, at some point it falls apart. But this text today says something about safety. First, consider the sheep in that they have a sheepfold. That's really a new concept for me, not knowing much about farming, but the sheepfold is the pen, right? The fence that sets a limit on where the sheep can wander. And the sheepfold is like this first security blanket in the art of shepherding sheep. For as long as the sheep are penned up, at least the shepherd knows they won't cause themselves any harm by wandering off and getting lost or hurting themselves. And the sheepfold has but one gate that monitors their coming in and their going out, and the shepherd can watch that gate. A security blanket. I learned this is really a concept of psychology, especially children's psychology. And Wikipedia, I know it's a great source, but Wikipedia says this about security blankets, that they're like comfort objects or transitional objects. Security blankets are an item that provides psychological comfort, especially in an unusual or unique situation like bedtime for children. And among toddlers, comfort objects take the form of blankets, stuffed animals, toys, and often are referred to as nicknames, making them comfortable to be around. Maybe you remember your childhood security blanket. Maybe you still have it. I had a polar bear that I went to bed with. Or you might think of young Linus, who walked in the Charlie Brown cartoons with his blankie everywhere he went. It's an item that grounds you, that provides emotional security. And all of us really are like children. And children, they're like sheep, in that they need guidance desperately, because we wander. And we get confused. And this sheepfold pen is similar to a security blanket as it grounds us in what is familiar, It holds us in one familiar place, surrounded by familiar things, surrounded by familiar people. We get this sense of safety by just being together, gathered up together in the church, in your home. The sheep are safe when they're in the pen, a boundary established between them and the world, the good shepherd watching the entrance. And you know, for years, the brethren embraced this concept of communal safety because they siloed their communities off from interacting with the outside world. And these communities, based around the local church and the agrarian life, could be self-sustaining, requiring little outside support. However, over time, the brethren migrated out of these tightly knit communities of security and comfort and familiarity, where the church could monitor the teaching of their beliefs and the family elders could teach the patterns of work on the farm. Our pen-like sheepfold has dissolved now, and our security blanket isn't what it used to be, as most of us contemporary brethren engage the world much like anybody else. And when we are afraid of this big bad world that's out there, and we want to silo ourselves off again sometimes so that we can just exist unto ourselves without those worldly influences, well, I'm afraid that time is gone. And the tragic shooting of an Amish one-room schoolhouse in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, more than 10 years ago, that was the sign to me that all of us are in this together now. There are no silos. All of us battle the same feeling of not quite being safe. But Jesus, in his metaphor of the sheep and the gate and the good shepherd and the sheepfold, he tells us that while the sheepfold limits our ability to wander, except for when the shepherd is watching, the reality is that others can jump the fence. Jesus calls these fence jumpers thieves and bandits. These folks are not the good shepherd, and Jesus reminds us we can tell this because they didn't come in the gate. They snuck in. And Jesus says that the thief comes only to steal. My HarperCollins study Bible reminds me that that word bandit used by Jesus here is the same word in the Greek that referred to to members of a political party at the time of Jesus that was seeking to spur on this violent anti-Roman rebellion, revolution, with these messianic claims of a divine king. And it reminds me that these thieves and bandits are trying to steal away our attention. They want to claim us in their ranks. They want our allegiances. But they also don't have our best interests at heart. They're deceptive and they're cunning. And they only perpetuate the cycles of violence. So think about it. Who are your thieves and bandits? Who is competing with the Good Shepherd for your attention, your devotion? And how easily are you deceived? If you're like me and most sheep-like people, we're easily deceived. Easily deceived into thinking that violence and hatred and power, that those things really are in our best interest. Maybe the method of the bandit isn't so bad. We might be convinced. The most recent Marvel superhero movie that's breaking records at the box office right now is Black Panther. Maybe some of you have seen it. Maybe. I hope. The most interesting theme in this movie is watching the king, the Black Panther, who is king over this fictional African nation, Wakanda, which is greatly advanced in science and technology, watching him discern the best way for his innovative nation to assist the advancement of black communities around the world who feel like they have been forgotten and abandoned and rejected. And in a struggle that's reminiscent of the conflict between Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, the king must decide whether his people should seek change through retributive violence against their intentional and unintentional oppressors, or by fostering communities of hope through the support of families and restoring community agency. And despite the cunning influence of the thieves and the bandits in his life, the Black Panther rejects the way of retributive violence and chooses restoration. So unfortunately, the thieves and bandits that stir up trouble by jumping the fence into the sheepfold and avoiding Christ at the gate, these folks can be outsiders or insiders. And while it might be easiest for us to point the finger at that outsider as the bandit in our lives trying to compete with the good shepherd for our attention, it is also often those we feel close to, the people we might even have a kinship with, as is the case in the film, The Black Panther. In the time that Jesus spoke this parable, it seems like he's referring to the Pharisees as the leaders of their Jewish religion, as the insiders, and also the thieves, who are more concerned with their own rightness than the righteousness of the people. Or think about in the days of the Old Testament, during the monarchy, the kings of Israel and Judah, these insiders of the chosen people, too often they behave more like bandits than shepherds. So do you reject the influences of thieves and bandits in your own life? Because they won't make you feel safer. Only your proximity to the Good Shepherd provides a true safety and comfort. So to close the sermon this morning, I want to turn our focus completely to the parts of this text that tell us about the Good Shepherd. Jesus says he is the Good Shepherd, and what makes him so good is his willful sacrifice. The Good Shepherd claims an ownership over each and every one of us, the sheep. And the shepherd, that ownership is like the love of a parent for a child. It's a love that causes the Good Shepherd to be willing to lay down his life for his children, for his flock. And Jesus reveals his willingness to lay down his life so that we might live. The safest, most comfortable place to be, therefore, is by the shepherd's side. And why wander then, if this shepherd is willing to go to such length for you? Now, let's be honest here. You might be thinking, maybe you ought to be thinking, that this is not quite a good enough answer for all of our questions about reestablishing safety in our communities. Jesus died and he has risen again, yes, and we are here in church near to his side, much like many other people around the world, and our physical existence might feel as threatened as anyone else. And you're right. The shepherd laying down his life for you does not guarantee physical safety at all. We're never promised that. And that's hard. That's really hard to understand. As I would like to think that my good shepherd would save me from physical harm. And yet time and time again, we've heard stories of persecution, real persecution, physical persecution. And I know I need not remind you of the stories that come out of Nigeria that we read about. And just a week and a half ago, one of the women that was here singing with us in our sanctuary 3 years ago, I'm a friend of hers on Facebook, reported that her niece, a nurse, was a part of the most recent abductions. And these stories, they're heartbreaking. And I claim no grand answer for that heartbreak. The heartbreak that tears lives apart in Nigeria, in South Sudan, in Syria, right here. To provide a definitive answer to that question, I feel would be irresponsible for me as your pastor. I feel like that would be thievery of the Good Shepherd's flock. So I only tell you what I do know and I do believe. That the Good Shepherd and his sacrifice of himself does something more powerful for our sense of safety and comfort than we who have never looked death in the eye might understand. Because through that self-giving sacrifice of Christ, along with that subsequent resurrection, the powers of sin and death are defeated. This means that even in the face of death, we need not fear because our shepherd is near. We, the sheep of the shepherd's flock, have this eternal covenant. And all we need do is stay near to the shepherd, hear his voice, follow him, rest in his shelter, trust in his watchfulness of the sheepfold. But I truly am sorry. I'm sorry that I cannot provide an answer to your feeling of a lack of safety. And I'm sorry that I cannot say that your faith in Christ will always equal an avoidance of danger. I'm sorry. In fact, sometimes your faith will lead you right into the thick of it. Because remember, Jesus also says, take up your cross and follow. But be comforted. Be comforted in the fact that the Good Shepherd is watching over his flock and is keeping your souls from harm. For death, even that greatest fear, is taken care of. Amen.